This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Mark Hostetler here talking about the Ten Commandments. And the reason is I was actually looking through the podcast list, and one day Eric and I, we started talking about the Ten Commandments, and we got through half of them. So I see this thing on the podcast list, first Ten Commandments part one, and I realize we don't have a part two. So
hello, this is part two.
This is part two, yeah. So we're in Lent, and hopefully that's going well for you. It's unbelievably, it's flying by quickly.
It is.
Because we're
this
day
is
11,
the second
12, whatever.
Friday coming up tomorrow, which will be today if you're watching this tomorrow.
Right.
Or Friday if you're watching right. this on Saturday.
Well, I think they're doing a Monday, Thursday. So they're all Monday, Thursday podcasts.
Oh, man.
It used to be Friday. Yeah. So okay. Actually, no, they'll be looking at it before the third time that we're doing a fast. But I do enjoy the fast days, actually.
So and tomorrow's is marriage and family, and mm-hmm. we'll be praying in for our marriages and family. Please, please, please pray for that.
Right.
It's such a need, you know, right. such a need.
And that'll be on the one that they'll be doing for the number. Which number is that one then?
The second. So that's for March 1st.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So that'll be pass on this one, and then it'll be the next one, whatever the third one is. So the list is in there. We post it every week on what we're supposed to be fasting for. But mm-hmm. I think to me, there's a list of stuff that we as a church fast to. I always encourage people fast for what's on your heart that day. And if you have a friend that you're praying for, if you have mm-hmm. a family member, if there's a health issue, I would say bring any of that kind of stuff before the Lord. I think it is really great. But I love that part of the fast. Mm-hmm. The bread so far, I mean, I've been so busy, to be honest with you, it's not affecting me as much as past things have mm-hmm. or as past times have, because I'm just blazing through.
Which
and
is good.
So eventually, I mean, hopefully it's going to catch up. And
Pastor Bradley was here last time with Bill to discuss that fasting and mm-hmm. what they're doing, what they gave up.
Right.
So you can catch that on I think it's the last one or the podcast before the last one.
Yeah, see it just go on the YouTube station. You'll see that it's marked out, you know, as fasting and things mm-hmm. like that. But this one, it starts out, you shall not murder. You got the last five, you shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, or covet. So those are your last five. And all of the Ten Commandments were given. This is how you relate to your community. These are the standards for getting along. Like, we're not going to get along if we're killing each other. We're not going to get along if we're lying to each other. We're not going to get along if we're stealing with each other. So to me, it's always been about relationships. And I also, to me, I look at these statements as not just law. These are statements of reality. So mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments really are, this is just reality. I mean, mm-hmm. you can call it like, oh, God, you made this command, you know, I have to follow. God is just stating what reality is.
Yeah.
These are the facts of the matter.
Yeah.
And what you really should not be doing. So the first four of the Ten Commandments go to God. And that's how we relate to him. And then the last six go to our relationships with others.
Yes. Excellent. And then Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And all of these commands will be fulfilled in those two.
Oh, absolutely.
It really just comes to a heart of love.
Right.
It comes back to treat each other with honorable, loving respect. You're going to fulfill these. Listen, if I love somebody, I'm not going to murder him.
Right.
I mean, if I love somebody, I'm probably not going to steal their property. Why? Because stealing is, I just don't know. About stealing gets my hairs on the back of my neck stand on end, because I don't like the idea of taking somebody else's property. Why do you do that? You know?
Unless you're giving it to me, no. I mean, you don't take, I've always been one of those people, I don't want to pick up a dime off the floor of the church and keep it. I'll turn it back to the church. Like, nothing, if it's not mine.
I can't say I've followed that.
So, yeah. If it's not mine, it's not mine.
Well, that's a good rule.
Yeah.
I see something on the floor, I go ahead and say, okay.
I guess it's out on the street or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's different. You don't see as much money flying around the streets these days as more of a cashless society.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, he points out the murder thing. Obviously, I would throw abortion in there. I think it comes into play here. Jesus Christ would put it in your anger comes into play here.
He would say,
don't be calling people names. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't kill people, but what we'll do is we'll assassinate their character.
Wow.
And so you'll say, wow, well, you're a blockhead, or you're a fool, or you're stupid. And I've thought about that so many times. Oh, yeah, when it comes to politics and things like that, I'm sure those words have flown out of my mouth plenty of times. What a moron, or that's so stupid. Or, but as you get truly, like, angry and you get in your interpersonal relationships, like, I think you have to be careful, because Jesus Christ said, you've heard that you shouldn't kill someone. Then he takes it to hatred, right? He takes it to anger.
Yes, so he did the same thing with adultery too. Right. You know, he's come to this earth to show us our heart, the true depravity of our heart.
Right.
He's revealing, guys, any actions that you are doing, it's stemming from a bad place of your heart.
Right.
Do you think, know, any misuse of these commands, it really is premeditated. It's, you've already been meditating on this thing in your spirit, in your heart. And so when you catch hate in your heart, catch that immediately and cast it out.
Right.
Because that's going to lead to an action that's going to be against the command of God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I love that Jesus came. He didn't just come to show us, you know, the measuring rod of the law. He came to show us, change your heart.
Right.
And the only way to do that really, truly, is come into relationship with me. I'm going to fill you with the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to fill you with love and joy and peace and patience, you know, and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He's going to do that for you. It can't be something you muster up on your own, because on my own, Bill, I'm going to hate people.
Right.
On my own, I'm going to walk around angry.
Right.
But when I subject, I'm going through this study right now, and the author of the book, Jimmy Evans, he says, the Holy Spirit needs to be the oil upon which your emotional engine runs.
Right.
That's how God created us.
Right.
So I need to subject my emotion of anger or hatred or something like that. Subject that to the power of the Spirit within me. Say, I can't do this on my own, but you've given me a helper. Right. His name's Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I can do it through his power.
Right.
You know? That's what Jesus did.
Yeah, I'm typically pretty tolerant. I mean, there's a, in my whole life, when I think about hatred, do I think hatred leads to murder? Anger leads to murder? Absolutely, I do. Mm-hmm. Because that's where road rage comes in, and dumb things that happen. People get mad at somebody, and then they're, next thing you know, guns are flying. That's what happened at Kansas City at the Chiefs parade, where, you know, people got in an argument. Next thing you know, bullets are flying all over the place.
I haven't even heard that.
20 to 25. Yeah, when they did their parade after the Super Bowl. A young woman got killed. She was a mother of at least a couple of children, and, you know, it was really sad. A bunch of children got hit by bullets. It was nonsense. You know, it was just not controlling your anger and getting out of there. As far as hatred, to me, there was only ever a handful of people in my whole life that I really could say I didn't like. You know, I really just not jive with that person. In other words, probably not somebody, you know, I would want to be around. But they, it's not that it started that way. I mean, they had to really do a lot to get me to that point where I would think, yeah, probably best not, you know, not to really be around that person. It's not that I lost sleep, not that I ever thought about him too much. It's just not really the person I'm going to, you know, go running across the street to say hi to.
Yeah.
And even those people, I'm always, be always pleasant to. Like, I'm always going to be nice. So it doesn't, not something that's residing. But on the other hand, your critiques or labels that you throw on people, I mean, I don't think that we should be doing that kind of stuff either.
That Jimmy Evans, again, I go back to a teaching I heard from him once, and he mentioned that he, early on in his ministry, he had a board member that constantly opposed him and constantly just would come right to his face and tell him, you should not be where you're at. You should be, you know, this and that. He puts it like this. I had a little torture chamber in my heart for that person.
Right.
Every time he was around, I would torture that person.
Right.
And he said, God spoke to him. He said, you got to start praying blessing over that person.
Right.
You got to start praying for him. One day, as God would have it, they had a meeting together. And he confronted him about this. He said, why are you doing this? And this guy told him, I've had 11 stepdads in my life.
Right.
And as soon as he said that, Jimmy was able to see this young boy, this guy stuck as a young boy, opposing any sort of authority, period. Because every authority figure in his life was bad. And they left.
Right.
They mistreated him and left. So he has no trust for authority whatsoever. And he was able to see that once he started praying and subjecting his emotions to God, he was able to now see that person as God sees him.
Right.
This young boy stuck in this pattern where his mom's unhealthy, going after man after man after man, you know.
Right.
11 stepdads? That's right. Crazy.
Well, I think it's good to, you know, realize there's a reason why some people are the way they are. And I think that's great to understand. It doesn't always affect the outcome. In other words, I was just talking to actually Eric about this today about other things. And I said, well, no matter what the reason is, sometimes what you face is you got to have somebody that's doing what they need to be doing. If they're not doing it, it's kind of like you, you could have a singer who just, because they've been through a lot, they just never show up to practice and they're always late every time. Well, after a while, it's not going to matter how many reasons there are for what it does. It's still,
it's still affecting.
It's still, it's still affecting. You're still going to have to say, hey, I can't have you here. Yeah, you know, no matter what, but
You
can't, it's not unkind. It's just,
you can't stay stuck in that pattern in your life. You know, you can't keep making excuses because of that. Go get help. Go get, I understand that. You know, but it is, it was very instructive for me to, hey, just make sure you don't cast a judgment or be unhealthy yourself toward a person that's really, they're, the context of their life has been horrible up to that point. Give them help.
But just, too, you know, and that's evaluating somebody else's heart. I think the person who was doing that to Jimmy Evans should be evaluating their hearts as well. There was a man, and maybe it was a similar thing. I don't really know, but you know, early in my days in the church, I mean, you couldn't tell him anything. Like you could seriously, he would just kind of start meetings. You know, I'm going to do what I want, and you're not going to tell me anything. Okay, and that's the way we would start, and it just. It didn't really get better. And then he'd be up, actually, you know, if you give testimony time for him at one night was, look at me, I'm the person you should be following, basically, and here's why. And it just, I mean, of course, as a young guy, I just saw that kind of stuff. I didn't have a lot of respect for it, I can tell you that, because I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get the arrogance. I didn't get the, not, I'm such a, you know, come from such a, like a team player mentality. Like, I don't get that at all. It's like, well, why are, I'm not telling you I'm going to do whatever I want. I never have had that attitude as a pastor of this church, you know? So why do you have, I don't know. I guess there's understanding, but that person should have been evaluating. Then I would challenge them from time to time, just about their thinking, because they wanted, like, I've always seen some people, they wanted to be a royal family. Like they wanted to be the family everyone looked to. They're kind of the royal family in the church, where I always felt that there shouldn't be a royal family in the church. And I stick to that to this day. There's no royal families in the church. Like everyone, we're just servants. We're here working together. Yeah. We can, any one of us can pick up a chair. Any one of us can sweep a floor. Any one of us can, right? You know, we're all going to serve. We're all going to help out. We're all together. We're a team. And that's what being a part of a team is. But when those things happen, I think when I've had anger about it is I've just had to keep praying about it and just keep praying about it till the anger is gone. And I wasn't blaming anyone else for it. In other words, if I was just had a storm inside of me, I wasn't praying, you know, something against them. I was just praying, Lord, help me to deal with the storm, you know, help me to get this out until it went away. And what I found in my life is the more I prayed about these kind of things, if it's an anger issue or hatred issue or whatever, the more that I was praying about it, the storm would just go away.
Again, you know, you come back to the model of the psalmist. The psalmist, a lot of times, they actually, in their examination of themselves, they ask God, examine me.
Right.
Now, think about that. You know, think about the boldness of that. You examine me, God, and see if there's any unfit or unhealthy way in me. Actually, the one, Bill, you can maybe help me here, but it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing.
That could be Psalm 19.
Be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. What a prayer.
I think that comes, doesn't that come right at the tail end? You know, keep me from willful sin.
Right. So let the meditations of my heart, it says, not only the words of my heart, mouth, but the meditations. What am I thinking about? What am I contemplating? What's the hatred? What's the murderous activity going on in my heart?
Let's say you're the monster in some ways. You know, you're the one that's got all these issues and you've been created by the forces that have come upon you. And so you're hard to work with. And here's something I like to think about. How do I want to be remembered?
Ooh, that's good.
Do I really want to be remembered to the person who cried and threw tantrums until I got my way? Or do I want to be remembered as a person who helped and loved and served? How do I want to be remembered? I've thought about this as a parent. And when my dying day comes and my kids are left behind, what are they going to remember? And what are they going to think about? What is my wife going to think about? I never wanted to die someday. And my wife's like, well, that's a relief. That guy's gone because he's such a pain in the neck to deal with. No. And all of a sudden you could be thinking through your life, I got my way. everyone bent to me. I'm like, okay, well, they also had their own opinions of you, exactly, and right, they weren't positive. So how do I want? So I've got to resolve these things in my own heart. And Jesus Christ is saying, if you're the one calling people names, if you're the one attacking, if you're the one, he's not saying, hey, I have a million excuses for why you're doing it. He's saying, you need to get it under control. Change. You need to change, right?
Change. And that change happens, by the way, by the only through relationship with Jesus. In my view, it's the only way it changed for me. I was angry a lot.
I would say you need God. Absolutely. Yeah,
I needed to submit myself to the lordship of Jesus in my life. That's the only way it broke. That's the only way it changed.
Right.
Can I ask you another question about the murder before we...
Yeah.
So I've heard people ask me, well, what about in the military? What about at war? What about...
Because that's... The government has the right to bear the sword.
Okay.
So
there's a difference between murder and killing.
There's a difference between, I mean, murder is killing somebody, obviously, but murder is an intent to end their life, and you have no authority to do so. When you're working for the government, you're a police officer, you're a judge in the court, and it's capital punishment. I mean, that's not on you, because the government has the right to bear the arm. It's not vendetta. It's not vindictive. Yeah. It's not hatred. It's just,
so
it's war.
Self-protection, you know, those kinds of things, working in the military.
Well, I mean, if somebody were going to try to kidnap and kill my grandson and I get to them before they get it, I'm not going to have a lot of, I'm not going to like it that I had to do it. But on the other hand, you know, I'm going to protect my family. Okay. So
thanks for clearing that up.
Do not commit adultery. Obviously, you got to be faithful to your spouse, faithful in your thoughts, faithful. Where I see it is, you just can't be building bridges with somebody else. I read this story, and it was this woman. She goes away for the weekend. So this guy writes a story and puts it on Reddit, the news station, you know, news source. They pick it up. They put it on national news. But so she goes and she goes out with it, has a girls' weekend out, and they go to dance or whatever, you know, to get away. First night out, she sleeps with another guy. So she calls him up the next day. She's all crying about it. And he's like, well, don't come back. I mean, just, like, it's done. Wow. It's over. And I understand, because she's telling the guy she's divorced. She's telling the guy they're flirting, they're drinking, they're dancing. Then he lets her walk her back. Then they kiss. And then the rest is history. And, you know, she felt really terrible about it. But that's the kind of stuff, like, don't put yourself in those situations. Like, don't be adding alcohol. You're out there without your spouse. You're a bunch of men staying somewhere, and, you know, you're or gals if you're a guy. Don't put yourself in that situation. Don't be in the way of temptation. Don't be building bridges with somebody, writing to them all the time, texting all the time. That's the kind of stuff I try to avoid. I'm just not in communication.
I think you're right, and I think it's very important to realize this, guys. In the virtual day and age that we live in today, virtual can be just as dangerous, is just as dangerous, let me correct that, as the physical thing.
Right.
You can get caught up in this fantasy world, and you're out there, like you're saying, building bridges with people that you would never, ever talk to in the same way physically.
Right.
But you're getting away with it in your mind,
or you're just
virtually,
you're talking about problems, or you're trying to help them, and you get more connected. I just think there definitely clearly is a danger there.
Be
for sure.
Be careful.
And they asked me, I remember when I was first ordained, and I wasn't even at Eagleville yet. And the guy asked me, he goes, well, how are you going to keep yourself, you know, free of these temptations and be faithful? I said, well, one thing for me, I said, I never joke with the same person all the time.
That's a good
If
rule.
I'm joking with the same, I said, I'm not going to stop joking. Like, I'm not saying I don't communicate with the opposite sex. Of course I do. You know, I mean, you work with them. You've got different ones as ministry leaders. So you've got to communicate and things like that, or ask questions, or how you doing, or praying for you, whatever it is. It's not the same person all the time. I think the issue is not, you know, you, Mark, can't send a text to, let's say, my wife, Jerry, for sake of, I mean, just for sake of argument.
Right.
That's not a problem. If it was 20, 30 texts a day, I'm going to say, and I'm being absolutely absurd, but I'm just saying then that would become a problem.
Yeah.
Don't steal. Don't steal is another one. The way people would steal in the old days, I shouldn't say old days. My days are the old days. they would take company tools. That's what they do. They would.
Yeah.
They wouldn't ever go and steal somebody's bike out of a yard or anything like that. But they would just feel like, you know, I don't really get paid that much, so I'm going to take this wrench home. And then next thing you know, the shadows where the pliers were, the screwdriver was, or the hammer was, it's not there anymore because someone took it home, or they're giving out boxes of safety gloves or goggles. Mm-hmm. They're helping themselves to the whole box. Yep. They're just taking it home. That goes, of course, to the employer is, you know, fronting the cost for all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I used to always think, well, that's stealing. Like, I can't take company tools. I'm not allowed to do that. Or they would waste time. I thought wasting time and not working was stealing because you're actually going to work and not working. Well, to me, that was a way of stealing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I think there's a connection too, with drug use and addictive behaviors and unfortunately stealing.
Right.
To try and supply for that habit. You know, my dad, unfortunately, several times has had things stolen out of his house.
Right.
You know, and it's a very big problem.
Right.
When you, I can't tell you how, what's the right word? I don't know if degraded, you feel.
Violated.
Violated. That's the word. Thank you. Violated that you just. Now you don't have those things. He, you know, shotguns taken. One of his favorite, my grandpa's Ithaca 37, stolen out of his house. I mean, it's just, and that was the gun that I was using a lot.
Right.
You know, I love that gun. You could hold the trigger and pump, and it would just keep shooting.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know. But it was a great gun. Gone. It's gone.
It's not right.
It's like, it's heartbreaking, really. Right. It violated is the perfect word.
I mean, we had all my camera equipment. I had my camera and my best lens with me, but I mean, they stole my other equipment. They stole Jerry's. And it was like special videos to her and things that were important that were only on her computer was the only place where it was kept.
Man.
And they stole the computer. They stole her memories. You know what I'm saying? And so she was super upset about that. And of course she would be. And I thought, you know, how wrong is it? You know, I'm just here visiting the city of Philadelphia. And it was ended up being a $10,000 claim. I mean, with all the stuff they stole out of her car, it was super crazy. Unfortunate.
When you read the Bible, it is very evident that God cares for people's property. He's established boundaries.
Yep.
He's, you know, so he cares for property.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's very important for us not to have a heart that wants to just take other people's stuff.
No, I mean, absolutely come on. Don't bear false witness. Shouldn't be lying. Oh. You shouldn't be. And here's the thing, man. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. It's just bearing. It's like you either make it up or it's only your perspective and it's just. It's not even true.
Oh my goodness.
Not even true. Yeah. So I believe half of what I hear. This is what I believe half of what I see, none of what I hear. That's my policy. If I hear it out there, grapevine, I just don't believe it because you can't believe it because I've heard so many things about myself that I never did, never said. I had to assume at that point in my life that, well, just like you, Bill, heard things that about yourself that you never said, never even thought, never were within 100 miles of. You have to assume that the things you hear about other people have just as much accuracy to them. So it's so inaccurate, the things that get passed around, you just can't put stock in it.
And this happens, unfortunately, like in court cases and stuff.
Right.
Bearing false witness. I mean, so it's it's just horrible.
They don't even check you for it. They you don't even get in trouble for it.
It's horrible. Yeah, it really is. This is, and the most glaring place you can see this is when Jesus was they produced false witnesses for Jesus. Right. They tried to accuse him of things he was not guilty of.
Right. Well, go to divorce court. Yep. There's lies all the time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just making things up is horrible. Mm-hmm. And then don't covet is the other one. And don't cover your neighbor's house, not his servants, not his animals, not anything. They're definitely not his wife. Don't covet.
Yes.
And that means pining away, wish that you had had it because you got to learn to be happy with what you have and not. I try to be happy. Like if my buddies and stuff find success and they do really well and we're in similar veins and stuff, I just try to be happy for them. I'm That's like, right. man, great for you.
That's right.
And if there's a yard sailor back in the old days, I would just say, hey, every dog has his day and there's enough to go around. Mm-hmm. I'm not here just to take everything. I don't need everything for myself. I just need I'm just looking for my piece of the pie. I was happy for you to have a piece of the pie. Some people came in, they want the whole pie. I'm like, I don't need the whole pie. I just need my piece of the pie. You get your piece of the pie. And if you live that way and you don't cover and you don't worry and you don't get caught up in that kind of stuff, you're just more peaceful. You're just, everything's going better.
Yeah. Just if you think about this last sum up command, you know, it's, the other ones are external activities, you know, murdering, and this one here is an internal activity that leads you to stealing, that leads you to committing right. adultery, that leads you to murdering. It all happens when you start to get this spirit of covetousness.
Right.
Is you start to stew on, I want that.
Right.
I need that. You know, I don't have that, so I'm going to get it, you know? Right. And sometimes that produces a false witness.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think too, there's a difference between, like, I've been inspired by cool things that my friends did and inspired me to do, like the patio. I saw my friend, he's doing all this cool sure. stuff, and he said, hey, you know, mm-hmm. I have a line level and a shovel and a wheelbarrow and mm-hmm. got some supplies and went after it. And I'm like, well, why can't I do that? You know, I can go dig footers and build things. And so but next thing I know, I was later. In this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Or a year, whatever it was. It was a long time. There we were. And it did go almost a year by the time we actually finished it. But it was an amazing, it's a beautiful project. But to me, that has nothing to do with the company. That's just inspiration. So if you inspire someone to get out and hike, mm-hmm. That's different. So we're not talking about that kind of stuff.
And we developed that in another podcast as well. It's back a couple. So it's called Envy.
Right.
And we discussed that at length too. Right. So there, if you wanted to go back and watch that, so.
Yeah, inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different than company. Mm-hmm. But hopefully this is bless you. Hopefully your Lent season is going well. You guys all have an awesome week.